I feel a bit of a fraud talking to you because I'm a geographer and know nothing about the major part of my mother's dialect, which is pretty intensive understanding. And I'm really not into the arts, except I run the creative campus at one of the universities in Liverpool. So I'm massively committed to the arts, but pretty ignorant of them. I just enjoy it. So I love some of the things we get from the Strato analysis to think about what it does to sit and listen to the film, to watch Karen dance and things like that. So anyway, I thought I'd just say a few, it's horrific because you've all probably been through this, I'm talking to the converted, but I just thought I'd put something together about my mum. Well, here we are. She was called Mabel. She was born in 1925. She was very working class. That's her mum. Her dad is the guy at the back. He looks great, but he was a thug and he was a drunkard and he used to beat them all. He was a prisoner of war in the First World War. He was also a lamplighter and a railway man in Wembley High Street. But we have a bit of a family. My mum is the young lady on the left-hand side, there, that breath there. But we did have quite a strong family, and I remember Christmas parties were wonderful, except they often ended in punch-ups, and certainly the weddings often ended in punch-ups. That's life. So she got married, I started to be talked about just about on that day really, when they got married. That's my dad and that's my mum. My mum, like we've heard already, this war was of major significance to people of that generation. She was in the ATS. And that had a massive impact on her life, and also increasingly as she got older, she sort of kept referring not just to when she had dementia, but prior to that, the ATS was an important thing. She met a guy from Wallasey called Bill, who was a sailor on down in the south, and I think they met playing table tennis, and my dad reckons it was better than Mum Wynn. They got married in Wembley, which is where I was born and bred in 1944. Two sons, me in 46 and my brother in 48. And we lived in various flats and prefabs in Wembley. My only claim to fame was I used to play roller skate hockey on the streets with Charlie Watts, who ended up being one of the Rolling Stones, as you all know. We had a fantastic family life. You know, I'm too emotional even to talk about that. I never had any of this problem about having rows with my mum and dad. I never had any teenage problems. We just had a fantastic family life. My mum and dad always took us on holidays, but the one thing they always said we would do is have holidays. And everything else went by the board. My dad worked on Christmas Day, he worked, you know, he'd come off to work on the railway, and so on and so on. My mum had lots of illnesses, she had mastoids, she had women's disorders, she had ulcers, so she was often ill, but it didn't affect her. She spent most of her life working part-time jobs, pretty menial, mundane ones. She ran the Senators Association. Incredibly ambitious, you know, in the days of the 11 plus, every evening I came home from school, from primary, and we'd sit down and do general progress papers. She was so ambitious for her two boys. I went to grammar school, my brother went to an independent school. Both went to university, I did BSO, my brother did the UN, United Nations Association. She was incredibly hospitable. Every time I brought anyone home, whether announced or unannounced, she would provide a meal and food and friendship and conviviality. We had fantastic parties. When we had the coronation, she organised a street party sort of in the prefab estate, and the Harlem Globetrotters came and played basketball there. And when we won the World Cup in 1966, we had a party that evening. I've been to all the games, and Maria and those other friends from Colombia and Peru came to that party. And every year, New Year's Eve party, my mother was pretty abstemious except for New Year's Eve. And she just let herself go on New Year's Eve, as I remember all the parties. And this is my favourite photograph of me and my mum. That's her brother, that's me. I think I was in the Isle of Wight on holiday. So we had a, you know, superb... And I really wanted to just show you, because I think sometimes when you care for somebody towards the end of their life, you actually forget. And I get quite upset, I forget the good times sometimes, and the images, you know. So then we had this sort of period when we all went away, so my mum and dad made considerable social progress. So they actually benefited from Margaret Thatcher, you know, buying, say, selling the council houses. So eventually they had their own house, their own flat, they had a car, a Morris Minor and things like that. My brother went to Australia, I went to Liverpool. My mum then started getting fantastic jobs because she wasn't educated, she had an incredible personality. She started earning a lot of money with Motorola. She was reliable and honest and decent and they rewarded her. She started organising bowls, you know, so she eventually became in charge of Wembley and Harrow Bowling League and things like that. But then things started to go wrong, you know, she started to be ill even more frequently. And we got to the stage where my wife and I were going down every weekend to see them. And then you couldn't predict when you had to go down and life got crazy. So eventually they started to decide they'd move to Liverpool, which in some ways was a bit the beginning of the end. because they lost all of their social networks in Wembley. In Wembley and Harrow and places like that, they knew lots of people, came to Liverpool, and they didn't really fit in. Although they were well looked after, we loved them. So. She did a bit of voluntary work, but then dementia swept in, and she died in 2009. I suppose the first sign, when did we become aware? The first sign was when my mum and dad went to Australia to see my brother. And my brother got really angry and really annoyed because she kept losing her handbag. And she actually came home without her handbag. And the handbag was actually found in the house. And she used to get very agitated. She couldn't relax. She was always up and down. She wouldn't sit down. And if you had conversations, she tended to listen rather than contribute. The worst thing for me was the fact that she began to get incredibly aggressive to my dad. My dad was a fantastic guy. And she humiliated him in public. I remember one occasion, I stopped going long distances on holidays, but to Llandudno. And one evening my dad rang up and said, Bill, can you get down here quickly? And I got down to my mother was screaming at him in front of all these people saying, he's a shyster, he's got five girlfriends and all that. Absolutely. And this really didn't get upset me. She went walkabout, as you know, fairly common. We started to lock the front door, which I'm sure you shouldn't do, but we did. And I suppose towards the end, she was coming out of Tesco, Sainsbury's in Walton one morning, and she just drove into the side of the bus. And she blamed the bus, and she was going to the tiny side of it. So we had to go to that awful stage where we said, look, Mum, then took a cheap drive, and Dad couldn't drive. I think we're going to have to talk to the doctor about getting your license taken away. And that was a horrid thing, because that physically limited her. So it was a pretty, these signs, this thing happened. And then she got incredibly angry. She was never an angry woman. She got terribly angry. She got very aggressive. She became impossible in public. She humiliated people. She was aggressive to people. She told a barman, you don't make beer, you don't make gin and tonics like that. And, this sort of nonsense of public humiliation. She went in Llandudno. We eventually had to take her to the doctors, and the doctor said, yes, there's an issue here. We need to sort it out. And they did some sorts of... Eventually she went to the nursing home, which is one of the well-known nursing homes in Liverpool, which was fantastic. I won't mention it, but it was a fantastic nursing home. And then she became bedridden after a period of time, which was pretty awful. And then she lost her power of speech and it kind of set in. Now, we've all got important jobs. I got a fairly responsible job, which is 7 days a week. So I was working full time. My wife was working full time. My dad was beginning to be ill. So we had the big thing we had was this issue of exhaustion. We wanted to go to visit my mother every day. We felt that was what we wanted to do. We didn't always do it, and that made us feel guilty. But we did our best. So that was one thing: this sort of exhaustion of doing a professional job and at the same time trying to visit your mum. Then this whole thing of hopelessness and sadness, I think we all put the best side, and I can think of certain things, and I think at the end I say certain benefits of my mother having dementia. But the reality is, I've lost my mum. And I lost her, I felt hopeless, I felt desperately sad. We tried to communicate, but increasingly impossible. Sometimes she couldn't even go there for days and she wouldn't say a word. Other times she would say the same thing every few seconds. Interestingly, she had these rote social responses, so she said, good morning. She didn't mean it, it was just a word. And people came in and visited her once every blue moon, And they said, oh, she's really well done. She was just saying these sort of social responses. She's got these, I suppose, are they schemers or something? Information, I don't know what I was going to say about that. I suppose one of the other things, getting information was always a problem, but not at our nursing home, but at the high level. So in the end, I had to start writing letters. Well, I'm not a great letter writer, but, to the special case. Can you explain to me what's going on? One of the other things I found very difficult was these kids. These are my three kids, Anastasia, Chris, and Will. Great kids, love them. Really good sons, get on well with them. Does it like going to see the grandma? They hardly went. This was Christmas Day, before she died. And he looks a very happy parents. Those kids, and they're lovely, but I could never push them. They wouldn't go and see grandma. It was the same as the previous granddad without dementia. They just don't like death, I think, is one of them. Of course, the other character is my dad. My dad went to see her every single day throughout the goodness knows how many years she was in either in hospital or in the nursing home. He was described by the nursing staff as a view, but he was an unbelievable guy. He went every day. His sole purpose in life for the last 18 months of my mum's life was to that, not actually not that, because he died before her, ironically, but he was to go and see her. His whole day was planned around it. Couldn't drive. In the end, the most fantastic thing was that Mersey Travel got him a taxi, which meant that they would pay for him every day to go and get a taxi to London, which was an incredibly valuable thing. He got unbelievably emotional, spent most of his life in tears, you know, thinking about the old days. Then other things, you know, people inside clutching at straws, don't they? Say, well, she's better today, isn't she? And you say, I knew she wasn't. She wasn't better. You know, she's having a good day. This sort of optimism which we all want. We all want her to be better. My father used to think that she was actually going to get better. And it turns out to try and say to him, well, she's not going to get better. She may have a day in which she smiles. You know, points in her hand and stuff. And then the irony, of course, is my poor old dad died first. An amazing thing was the nursing home my mum was in. They said, why don't you bring your dad in? And for the last 4 weeks of his life, well, we knew he was going to die anyway, they allowed him and her to share the same room. And that was the most fantastic. I'm sure it broke every rule in the book. I'm sure health and safety people will say, this is outrageous, this is disgraceful. Wow, what a fantastic thing for that nursing home to do. Incredible. The elements for me, well, these are supposed to be more intellectual things, well, of course the smell, isn't it? The smell of nursing homes is the most horrific thing. The smell of urine, talks about cabbage. It wasn't cabbage, it was urine. And of course that nursing home was pretty good. Well, that was one of the things when we went round to look at 20 nursing homes to try and find the decent one, that was what made that horrid. This was a great nursing, this nursing home thing can come in any time you want, day and night. I couldn't conceive of having a mother or a father in dementia and being told you can only come between 9 and 11 or 3 and 6. I mean, that's not really. So open access is brilliant. Tremendous emphasis on personal care. There's nothing worse, is there, than somebody you love, somebody you respect, somebody you're dear to. You go in and they've got food on their clothes. Yeah, or they've got lots of facial hair when she hadn't. So that was crucial to us. And the fact we had regular hairdressing and whatever those called, people cutting nails and so on. Welcoming, you know, going into a nursing home, but as you go through the front door, they actually look at you, and then they smile at you, and they say, hi Bill, or hi Fiona. That is crucial to me, and I've been to loads and loads of places where that doesn't happen, so that was important. Comfortable, warm, tidy, personalised room, that's normal, I know, but that was fantastic. Most of these photographs I've used actually took me out of the walls and scanned them last week. Time to converse. Time for conversation between the carers and you. That was important to us. Celebration of birthdays, celebration of their wedding anniversary, these were all, she didn't really know what's going on. I'm absolutely convinced she didn't really know, but it made us feel good. I think that's one of the things, actually, a lot of these things I think are often good. It's the benefit of the carer rather than the patient, but that's not necessarily important again. Consultative, asking us what they wanted us to do. That flexibility of sharing the room in the last day. Being respectful to her, you know. I mean, my attempt this morning to show you this picture of this beautiful young girl who eventually became somebody who died of dementia. The very caring philosophy, which was awful. You didn't think it was a business. I know there are many nursing homes you go to and you get the feeling actually they're there to make money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's not the way that nursing home was run. And there was obvious massive emphasis on training and leadership. And they were looking for initiatives all the time. Because I happen to work in the university, I had access to students. And they were very happy to let the students go in and perform, and some of them were done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finished.
That'll do then. That'll go. Did I finish? I'm in my photograph. I just did the last one. I've lost it. Okay, that'll do. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.